involved with something highly unusual right now.
That's right.
Not just tonight. I don't understand. You've been in the drought spiritually for so long. The only thing I know is just believe in God's word. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He's buried. And after 3 days, when he rose again, how did he rise? According to the scriptures. That's the old. That's the new.
Man.
That's the law. That's the prophets. That's the Psalms. Even the Psalms, we know Asaph, we learned, was a prophet. David was a prophet. They spake one which was to come, Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled every bit of that prophecy himself. He came to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law, he fulfilled the prophets. And that's why the Lord, the book of Revelation, is going to send the law and the prophets back to this earth. And they're going to testify of him. Slain in that great city. After 3.5 days, God's going to resurrect them. And they're going to preach.
Hey,
man. Yeah. 4 minutes.
Because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's preach law tonight.
Man.
I know I've done some of this here, but my goodness, as much as we stop by, if I learned something new and haven't preached it here, I'd be shocked myself.
It's all right.
Let's go to the book of Exodus first. To scratch this. Again, listen, it's not just for show. It is not for show.
Absolutely.
But you can rest assured this. It's bigger than us.
Man.
This is far bigger than any of us. I'm at a loss in this sense that we've labored, wrestled, prayed. We've seen God begin to work through the Word of God. As the church has testified, I've heard other great men. The church is a great man in my eyes. He's been a dear friend to me. I look up to him as a dear brother. Thank God for him. He and his family are precious to me. When lean times come, I'm pragmatic enough. I like to think the men will run to the cross, but they won't.
That's right.
They'll run to the welfare agency. They'll run to the relief agency. They'll stand in bread lines with little red cars. But they won't run to the cross.
That's right.
When COVID hit, you'd think people would run to the cross. They didn't run to the cross.
That's right.
They ran from God.
That's right.
Hate God.
That's right.
Some folks we know pretty close to us that were members of a church that closed down, and they were disconcerted. They said, well, what do we do? I said, well, it's a little bit different for me. I'm a preacher. I said, I'd go and open the doors and hold church. They said, but they're shut down. And I said, the church is the body. You can't shut a body down.
That's right.
You say amen.
That's right. Right.
Some never opened again. Thank God for that. That's all they had.
That's right.
Ah, a bug's going to get me. I mean, we had a meeting this past, anybody remember the meeting in January? That was a good one. Anybody remember that meeting?
Amen.
Does anybody remember the January meeting?
Man.
Mike, you remember that meeting we had in January? It was good, wasn't it? Amen. snowed on Sunday. I preached on Monday. The season new preached on Wednesday. Amen. So what else happened? Nothing. I was very active that week, but not in here. Amen. Finally, the pastor said, well, he's hardly anybody come Wednesday because we all got COVID. I said, well, that's okay. I can't move, so just go home. Now listen, there's a lot of ways people can look at that and see what they want to say about that. But look where we are today.
That's right.
God knows these things.
That's right, buddy.
I see the hand of God. Man. So I see the hand of God.
That's right.
Is there less bitterness here than there was last year? Is there less bitterness than there was last year? I can rest assured this. 3-4 years ago, I guarantee it's a whole lot less bitterness than it was 3-4 years
exactly
ago.
Exactly right, preacher. Yeah.
Lord, yeah.
That's exactly right.
You say one person? No, a whole bunch of people.
That's right.
Genesis 15.
God's a working.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is yes, Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought it forth abroad, and he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Notice verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He counted it to him for righteousness.
Man.
He did not have Moses' law. He did not have David's Psalms.
That's right.
He did not have Isaiah's prophecy. Listen to this, church. He did not have a resurrected Savior.
That's right.
But he had a promise.
Well,
the promise he had, he believed God.
That's right.
One promise. Look at the stars of heaven, Abraham. So shall thy seed be. And he believed him.
That's right.
And then God counted unto him for righteousness.
That's right.
Let's go to Romans 4. Now, some of you might say, I've heard you preach this before. I want you to look up here and listen to me. I don't even know what I'm doing tonight. So don't say I've never heard you preach this before. Amen.
Right, buddy.
Romans chapter 4. You go, oh, I've heard him say this. If you've never heard this before, you can rest. I've never heard this before. Romans chapter 4. Amen. Verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, and notice this, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What pertained to his flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Notice this. What saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God.
Right.
Is that the Scripture said?
Yes.
He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
Right.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. He didn't come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners.
Right.
And he's willing to save sinners. He came to justify the ungodly. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness. Ungodliness. What is godliness? Godliness is to have the characteristics of God. What is ungodliness? All the rest of your characteristics.
Right.
That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He came to justify the ungodly.
Right.
And that salvation, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men without excuse. What is it teaching us? That denying that ungodliness and worldly lust. How do we do that? We believe God.
That's right.
So he goes on, he says, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Is everybody okay on that? Unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works?
That's right.
Why? It's by faith. It's by faith of God. It's by faith in Christ. It's by faith of Christ. God imputed that righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. What would that be? It'd be the son of Abraham. That'd be the son that God promised him. Out of his loins would come a son. That's the promise of God. He saith not to seeds as many one, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's the promise of God. That was the promise to Abraham.
Right.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham. Sounds like a gift, doesn't it? Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For by grace you save through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Right.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. God gave it to Abraham. Why? He promised it to Abraham. What's Abraham's obligation? He believed God. The covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which is 430 years after, cannot disannul. Cannot be taken away. Cannot be removed. That law cannot be annulled, strong, or disannulled. Amen. Then it should be made the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, be no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. He told us that was Christ. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. What is that mediator? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Man.
And he is the propitiation for our sins.
Man.
Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's the mediator, Jesus Christ. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the promise made to Abraham. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Amen. Thank God for that. Is the law then against the promise of God? Promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Right.
But the scripture hath concluded. Why? Because Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Rose according to the scripture. And so the scripture concluded on this wise, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, the conclusion of scripture is this, that the promise of faith, of by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe.
Amen.
You say, pick up two words in there, believe and believe. It simplifies it.
Right.
God gave the law, but the promise is not by the law.
Right.
Law is because of the transgression.
Right.
That's right.
Law is for the ungodly.
Right.
The law is for sinners.
Right.
The law is a schoolmaster. He tells us later on in this chapter. Well, let's look at that. In verse 24, the law is our schoolmaster. Why? To bring us unto Christ. That's why he gave the law. And he brought the law to us to bring us unto Christ, that we might see our ungodly deeds and our wicked ways, and how unholy we are, and how ungodly we are. And the law was that schoolmaster to show us our plight, that we might be justified by faith.
Right.
What faith is that? Verse 22. Mm-hmm. By faith of Jesus Christ. So the law brings us to that place.
That's right.
And going back, I'm not going to rehash weeks past. But why does God require repentance then? Because we don't believe. We don't see ourselves as that sinner until the law shows us that we're that sinner.
That's right.
I used to think wrong. And I was wrong about it, about the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. I used to think it was the good acts of God. It was the good deeds of God. No, it's the character of God's goodness that leadeth us to repentance.
Right. That's right.
I said it's the character of God. The fact that he is goodness.
That's right.
That's what leadeth us to repentance. It's not the blessings of prosperity. It's not the blessings of life. It's not the monetary gain. It's not that we have the finest clothes, the finest cars, the finest homes in the history of all of mankind. That actually has driven men away from God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Why? Because it's in God's character to lead you to repentance. You say, how does God do that? Well, let's just go step one. He brought you here.
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, he didn't lead you to a bar. Amen. That was your flesh. He didn't lead you down to the shore. Amen. Didn't lead you off on a little vacation somewhere.
Right.
Amen. Didn't lead you off somewhere in the drug den. Didn't lead you off to the bowling alley. Didn't lead you off to the golf course tonight. Didn't lead you down to the brothel tonight. Didn't lead you down to the strip club tonight. No, he led you to the house of God tonight because of his excellence of character and his goodness of who he is through his son, Jesus Christ. He leadeth thee to repentance.
Right.
That's right.
Put you in the house of God.
Man.
There's people that resent that because they don't see that's the goodness of God.
That's right.
Then, God gave you a preacher. Not just one. Man. Boy, there's been a bunch of them around the mouse tonight. Amen.
Right.
There's been a bunch of them around the mouse tonight. God didn't just give you one preacher. He said, what does it have to do with anything? If you can hear the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you hear the word of God? Because it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
To save them that will, help me out, church.
Believe. Right.
I got some distant relatives here. You say, how distant? Well, they live over the mountain, 53 and a half minutes away. Just close enough, just far enough. My nieces. At least I didn't stand you up this time. Amen. Y'all just shout, thank the Lord for that. You know how good God was to them? He gave them a granddad. He was a Bible-believing preacher.
Amen.
Boy, that's a blessing. Just somebody help me about that. He gave them a granddad. He was a Bible, King James Bible preacher.
God's glad.
That God gave him a daddy. It's King James.
Amen.
Bible preacher that believes the word of God.
That's right.
And then you talk about golden waterfalls from heaven. God gave him an uncle. Amen.
That's right.
King James.
Amen.
Bible believing preacher.
Amen, preacher. That's right.
What advantage is that? It's a pretty good advantage.
That's right.
Because of the goodness of God. Could have been born in the Sahara Desert without God. Could have been born in Arab without God. Could have been born in a Buddhist family, the Buddhist tradition, the Buddhist heritage without God. But God put him in a Bible preaching church, just like he did for you. Now listen, I'm not going to toot their horn. As far as I know, none of my nieces are in rank sin on this side of the family.
It's good, preacher.
As far as I know.
Amen. Thank God.
Girls that live clean. As far as I know, they live right. I got nieces on the other side of the family. I wouldn't even watch my children out of my sight. They're so unclean. These girls live clean.
Man.
They live right. You know what they need? It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance.
Man.
It's the goodness of God that brought you to this place tonight to hear preachers get up here and speak of these things that have been spoken of already this night. It's the goodness of God for the church. It's the goodness of God to put you in my life some 16 and a half years ago. And I mean, I've said that publicly as long as I've been. But the church and I, we just somehow, I think we're just both so contagious, we just hit them off right away. Amen. We've been friends ever since. He's visited up in Pennsylvania. I visited him in his home. You know, that's the goodness of God. You know why? Because God put you in my family's life as a preacher. And God put me in his family's life as a preacher. And then God let me meet Pastor David Vernon through Brother Zach Vernon at the prayer room of Faith Baptist. You say, that's all just coincidence. No, God's bigger than that.
That's right.
Yeah. I said, God's bigger than that.
Amen.
I got friends today. They'll tell me, I didn't even like you when I first met you. I've had them tell me that. When I first met you, I didn't even like you. And my friends said, what? Because of Jesus Christ.
That's right, preacher.
Because God just has a way of putting things together. Right. Because God's bigger than our ways. His thoughts are above our ways. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. Who can know the mind of God?
That's right.
And God puts these things together. And God brings us to this place. Why? Because of his goodness. And God gives us the word of God according to his goodness. That God would put a King James Bible in your lap and have you the audacity to crawl over this book in your sin and your unbelief and your rebellion against God and your hardened heart and your bitterness, to crawl over top of this book to defy God when all he's done has been good to you.
That's right.
Is blasphemy.
That's right, preacher.
But all he's done has been good to each one of us in this room.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't have anything. You can die without anything, but if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything you need.
That's right.
He said, we live in poverty. God's been so good to you. He's given you food in poverty, given you shelter in poverty, given you clothes in poverty.
That's right.
The Harvey used to tell the men down in Baltimore, the big mission, 400 and some beds on that first floor for the men to stay. And he'd go up to that, he'd tell men, God's been good to you. Men, God's been good to you. Some of them would curse and blaspheme and mock God. Some of the boys would get it. Here they are, homeless on the streets, addicted to drugs, addicted to booze, laying in a cot in a homeless shelter, indoors with their belly full and clothing on their back. Certainly God's been good to them.
Right.
And we live in a generation today that can't see the goodness of God. It's not in material things. It's not in what God has given you. It's what God has done for you. Right. And we praise him for who he is, not what he's done. We praise him for who he is.
Right.
That's right.
Hear that song, for all he's done, I just want to lift my hands and praise him. No, I'll praise him regardless of what he's done, because
right.
of who he is.
Amen.
Because of his character towards me. That God would be merciful, that God would be just, that God would be holy, and then that God would be good to us.
Amen.
You see, we don't see that as the goodness of God. Some of you have taken that as a curse. daddy a preacher, granddaddy a preacher, uncle a preacher. Unless some people take that as a curse.
That's right, preacher.
But that's the goodness of God. If you die and go to hell, you can die and go to hell, crawl over top of that book,
that's
right, away from God because of the goodness of God. And God put people in your life to stop you every step of the way, and you defied them and cursed them and mocked them and hated them. Some people pick and choose which ones they like.
That's right.
Well, there's a pile of manure there. Some people pick and choose which ones they like.
That's right.
Somebody rains on your parade, gets your little poop slip out, gets your feelings all bent out of shape, says it's not your flavor, not your person, not your preacher. Oh, I like so-and-so, and I like, some of you won't let that man of God be your pastor. Mm. You ought to just go to the United Methodist Church and let Sheila be your pastor. Woo! I said, some of you won't let that man of God be your pastor.
It's good, preacher.
You have pastors everywhere but here. Amen.
Amen.
We got some too. It's the goodness of God that sent you a man of God, Moxville, North Carolina, to preach to you.
That's right.
It's the goodness of God to put a church in Marion, North Carolina, with the power of God back in 1983. It's the goodness of God to put me in a Baptist church where a man used King James Bible in April 1990. He said that was the goodness of God. That leadeth me to repentance.
That's right, preacher.
Peter, what are the odds of God was in a man of God three houses down from your house?
Hey.
That's a good God.
That's a good God.
That's a good God. Three houses down from Cornelius Village.
Amen.
That's the goodness of God. And some dozen plus years ago, sitting in Dick Botan's kitchen, I'm not even lying, I'm just being serious. I saw a mop and legs walk by. I said, who's that? He said, that's Peter Cornelius. That's how I'm going to get to know that guy.
Amen. Glad.
I never regretted that. Listen, I'll bust his chops. I'll make fun of that bald sucker all day long, but I never regret it. I stopped by to see David the other day. It's taken me years to get to know David. I stopped by to see David. Well, he opened his door, welcomed me, showed me his dining room. We sat down on the porch and talked a while. You know why? Because of the goodness of God. I said,
right,
the goodness of God.
Amen.
I got a neighbor, listen, they blaspheme, they mock, they don't understand anything about God. I got neighbors across the driveway from us. They have no idea what it means that God put a Baptist preacher in their backyard.
That's right.
And they bought a house next door. You know what? That's the good. You listen, that's the goodness of God.
Amen.
Don't you dare make light of that.
That's right.
We've had people come in our church for a thousand different reasons.
Yes.
Some of them are good, some are right, some of them are wrong. There's a funeral day, a lady in our church. Her brother died. Their church used to be a King James preaching church, and they got some slack-jawed yokel to come in there, some fancy pants, changed what he calls Bible versions. I call them perversions. And started carrying a perversion and got rid of any kind of music standards and doctrinal standards and took care of the Word of God and just purged the church of everything. Family sitting there suffering, that's not the goodness of God. That's the work of hell.
Right.
And that God would try to salvage people out of it. God would try to salvage them from the work of hell and put them in the Word of God and put them in the place of God with the people of God. That God would take men out of prison and out of bondage and put them in the house of God. That God would take whores off the street and put them in the house of God. That God would take rank sinners and crackheads and dope addicts and
right,
losers and put them in the house of God.
Yeah,
that's
right,
the goodness of God. God's truly been good to us.
Amen.
If you're a sinner, if you're self-righteous, then God hasn't done that. He hasn't done that. That's your work then. I said, that's your work then.
Yes, sir.
There's some you just need to get on board with the church. There's some you just need to get on board. See, I don't even like the engineer. Just get on board anyway. I learned this, when trains go in the right direction, I never went up front to check the engineer's credentials. Amen.
That's right, preacher.
I was on a DC Metro one day. Only time I ever met a Metro engineer. I was witnessing the man sitting in the very front cab. I can see the speedometer in the cab, 74 miles an hour through Lincoln Tunnel there. Or Lincoln Tunnel. That man sitting there, I couldn't see the engineer. I'm just talking to that man, beginning to struggle with a conversation about Jesus Christ. We pulled in Metro Center. I had to go one more stop. There, Lafayette Square. That door pops open. That engineer sticks out. Big old gold chains, gold teeth, gold earrings. It cussed me up and down one side and the other. I mean, cussed me. He used to cuss me a blue streak. Told me to shut up and get off his train. I said, sir, I'll preach whenever I want to preach. You get back in the cab and drive the train. That's a true story. You know why? Train's going the right direction. Amen. Don't even cuss the engineer. Train's going the right direction. The goodness of God brought us here.
That's right, preacher.
It's the goodness of God. I want somebody to listen to me. I don't care what your parents were, that's the goodness of God that gave you those parents.
Amen.
Glory to God.
You know why the law of God tells you honor that hoary head and stand up for the face of the old man? I am the Lord, he said. As you get old, you lose some faculties. Amen. You just go ahead, Sister Barbara, help me out with it. Amen.
That's right.
I can call her old. She knows I love her. She knows that. I know she loves me. Better believe that. Can't hear as good as a Barzillai said. I can no longer hear the singing of the children.
That's right.
I can't, my tongue cannot taste perverse things. His eyes were dim. They didn't have cataract surgery back then. Couldn't see, couldn't smell, couldn't hear. You know what God said about him? Honor that hoary head.
Amen.
I said, honor that hoary head.
That's right.
When they lose their mind, don't you do? You honor that. You stand up for the face of the old man. Right. Stand before the face of the old man. You show respect. You show honor to them. You don't respect them for what they are. Respect them for who they've been.
Shit.
That'll help you through Alzheimer's. That'll help you through dementia.
That's good.
That'll help you through a lot of loss of faculties. But you know when you learn that? You learn that when you're young, when your parents are young. Before that hoar head ever comes upon that crown, you honor your parents and you obey your parents. And you say, Lord, you've been good to me to give me these parents. Lord, you've been good to me to give me these parents. So my parents are wicked. God's been good to you to give you those parents. My dad physically abused me. My dad pretty much high and dry left us. My dad got locked up for not paying child support. My dad's an angry man, bipolar, manic depressive, probably other things. I hear from him on his birthday. He called me this year, the day before his birthday. Forgot his birthday was the next day, I guess. He calls me on Father's Day. And this year, he actually wished me Happy Father's Day. First time in 4.5 years being a father. He wished me Happy Father's Day. You say, you bitter about that? No, why? Because God's bigger than that.
That's right.
And I honor that hoary head.
That's right.
And I honor that man that brought me into this world.
That's right.
And I honor that man that was a part of my life, no matter how minuscule it may seem. But you know what? I got some family members that hate that. They're so bitter about that. They're so bitter about their upbringing, so bitter about their family, so bitter about their father. I know church boys and church girls so bitter about their upbringing. They can't wait to get out of church, can't wait to get away from their parents, can't wait to get out of the house of God. They've been so embittered by that. Why don't you just thank God for what God's given? Why don't you thank God for the parents you have? Why don't you be thankful, Romans chapter 1?
That's right.
That's right.
Thank God.
Amen. Why don't you just thank him?
That's right.
Let's do it now.
Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why don't we just come and thank you?
Man.
Just tell him five things you're thankful for. Come on. Tell him five things you're thankful for.
Amen.
If you can't think of anything else, that'll be all right. Just tell him five things.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Open his shoulders. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
sing that song, let us just bow our heads. We ought to thank the Lord for the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's right.
I believe it pleased the Lord if every person here that has breath in their lungs would just bow their heads before God and thank him and worship him.
That's exactly right.
May not understand him. May not even know exactly who he is. But thank him for the cross.
Amen.
Let it be pleasing. Sense of that. The devil wants me to really be saved.
So he comes to me and makes me doubt so that I can get this thing settled. You have to be really, really off your rocker to think the devil wants you to get your salvation settled. Because what he wants you to do is ride that little religion you got right in the hell. And he'll pamper you and pet you and just protect you from hearing the truth.
Right.
The greater is he that's in me. That preacher said it, buddy. It's the goodness of God that got us here.
Right.
It's the goodness of God that will expose you. It's the goodness of God that'll find you out. It's the goodness of God that'll let a preacher see some things in your life.
Right.
It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. You look at that pornography, it's the goodness of God that gets you busted.
That's right.
Right.
It's the goodness of God that gets you busted and embarrasses the devil out of you. It's the goodness of God that does that. That's the goodness of God. Otherwise, God would be an evil God just to let you live on in. God would bust you wide up. So why? Because he loves you.
That's right. Praise him.
Did you ever confuse the Holy Ghost and the devil? Don't ever confuse the Holy Ghost with the preacher. I want everybody to be saved. I don't want nobody to be lost.
That's right.
But if you're lost, the Holy Ghost will bring his finger on you. He'll trouble you. And you know what, Brother McVeigh? None of this is grievous. None of that law is grievous anymore. No. His commandments are no longer grievous. Amen.
Right.
Nothing bothered me tonight. Nothing. Nothing. None of the preaching. None of the testimonies. None of it. Brother Church, it didn't bother me a bit. It wasn't one bit grievous. It was joyful. It was a blessing. Peter, Michael, Tanya, Eric, Hannah, everybody in my congregation, I'm real glad that God put Peter, that blessed my heart, just him talking about God putting a man of God three houses down from him. Because I'm glad God put you in my life.
That's
I'm
right.
Glad to know you.
Amen.
I'm glad you're part of my life. I'm glad that Michael and Tanya and all of their children, and Eric and Hannah and all of their children, and Holly and Steve and all of their children, and my mama, and I'm glad Brother Church is in my life. I'm glad Zach and Amber. I'm glad my children. But you know what, Miss Stephanie, you know what I wish more than anything? And I love these people. You know I do. You hear me pray every day for these people, and I hear you pray every day for these people now. I wish we could be together in heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what I would. Yeah. I wish we could be together in heaven.
Yeah.
I'm glad to get to see y'all here on this earth. I really am. But it's going to be a bad day to take right life wrong when I have to watch these people that I love stand over there on that side of the throne.
That's right.
It's no wonder God's going to have to wipe away tears from our eyes. It's no wonder. It's going to be an awful day. It's going to be an awful time. See, people that you love be cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be an awful day. Cast into the lake of fire. Carl, he's going to cast on me and cut the line. There's no reeling them back. Good to see everybody dead. Don't lose what you got tonight. Be thankful. I need to see them black girls. Brother McVeigh and my wife over here at the trailer just for a moment, just for a brief moment. Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you tonight, God, for the goodness of God. Lord, it's just been good to be in the house of God. I'm glad I know I went to church tonight. Amen. Oh, blessed Father. Thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be here. God, these folks in this building tonight, God, just ain't able to get in on what we enjoy. I pray tonight, God, you'd hang them over hell. I pray, God, that bed would be like a pile of rocks. Lord, they'd roll over into a prayer patch and find no comfort, no rest. I pray, God, life would be hell on earth. Pray, God, that you'd make it miserable and woeful, God. I pray, blessed Father, that you would trouble their hearts God, take away their desire to eat. God, take away their pleasure. God, I pray that life would be miserable. God, that you'd bring them to it. That's the goodness of God, and I want to thank you for that. I pray that you'd bring them to a place of repentance and faith. God, before it's too late, we'll give you the praise for all that you do. I pray that you'd strengthen and encourage the saints of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Edit all that.
Have you ever-